This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 451. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, we have Headmaster Don, Diecast, XV. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Matt, John DeLuna, and Rob Clay. Gentlemen, too evil.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me tell you about this podcast I got.
Too Megatron.
Yeah. So, how's it going? Anybody get snow today? I did.
A little bit.
Maybe a tiny bit. Haven't looked.
It's so like everybody knows the woes of Georgia. If it snows a tenth of an inch, the state shuts down. Yeah. Where I'm at in North Carolina is like that too. The road never got covered. But on the interstate today, there was a car down like a trench. Somehow it went off the road. On the drive back home from the interstate, there's a car in a ravine. It was completely upside down. We can't drive in the snow here.
And it's times like this I'd like to remind people that Maryland is technically a southern state.
It is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We're below the Mason-Dixon, and we have the snow freakouts, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's about as far north as you can go and still have the bread and milk panic.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in my case, it's more cat food or messy will kill me.
It's funny. Friends who move down here from the north, they joke about it for their first year, but after they all fall into the same camp, they can't drive in the snow anymore, and they freak out. So
I've seen it. I can back that up.
It's true. It's awesome. Hey, so I want to remind you guys that it's Toy Fair time. Toy Fair is our big event all year, and for the last few years, Diecast has been going, covering for us, which means he can't actually be here during the live stream, but you know what? He brings us the best darn, usually the fastest news on Twitter. So, basically it's just a chance for us to get together with our Transformer nerd friends from around the world and talk about toys for usually 6 or 7 hours.
That's my time to blur it up.
Yeah.
And just be all over.
That's also BotCon.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and TFCon.
So have you guys read the book Thinking Slow and Fast? It's about how when to think deeply and when to, you know. So it's basically it's like being blur and being not. So Toy Fair is the time to be blur.
Yeah.
Most of the rest of the time, don't be blur.
Toy Fair is the time to be blur. When you're with a large group of people all trying to do the same thing, don't be blur.
But yeah, it's Toy Fair is our favorite time. Basically, we're going to start streaming around 12 p.m., so noon Eastern time, and probably stream until 6 or 7. Basically, it's a chance to just sit around and laugh and have fun with people we don't talk to as often as we should. And then basically around 2 o'clock, it gets serious when news starts trickling in. Mm-hmm. And then we basically talk and dissect basically for the next 4 or 5 hours as photos and things come in. And
at the end of the day, we get to talk to Diecast and whoever he's with by phone. And,
usually
get a first-hand perspective.
Usually Diecast or Anthony from TFU.info. Those are our regular peeps that we talk to.
Preferably both because Anthony's awesome.
Anthony's the man.
I love seeing him at Toy Fair and New York Comic Con and he's awesome to hang out with. And
I hope he makes it to BotCon this year.
Yeah.
BotCon, Anthony, John, XV, and I are from used to hang out together on the interwebs back in the 90s. And, we've been friends for years, and Anthony's from that same crew. And it's really just BotCon where we get to see those guys. It's kind of sad this past BotCon. We used to be like a group of 50 strong, and John and I ran into them because we were hanging out with RSC guys with you guys, and it was like 5 people.
Yeah, it was reduced down to a small table.
We used to go in and shut down. Yeah, we used to go in and be basically go into a business and basically make their night or make their week. It was 5 people. It's pretty funny.
And then also at Toy Fair this year. Thankfully, thank LEGO, we got invited back to LEGO.
Oh, yeah.
Bandai, Playmates, there's Lionel, there's a bunch of other companies I'm probably forgetting. But basically, which is pretty good, we got invited back everywhere we went, pretty much.
That's good.
Fantastic.
So yeah. We're going to cover mostly Transformers on Saturday, but I guess we'll have a supplementary stream on Sunday, I guess.
And plus, you can follow the Twitter account because you'll see everything at if you're TF Radio. Interested in everything. At TF Radio.
At TF Radio. Chris, do you want to run the Sunday? I'll do the stream. We're going to do that, I thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our guest list for Saturday is pretty well, I think, confirmed. We'll get that out later on. But I guess we need to still look for some Sunday folk.
Yeah, probably so.
People who like talking about things other than Transformers.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure a few of our Saturday people would probably be interested in coming back.
Yeah. Like, I will not be there. I don't have a clue about Bandai or any of that stuff.
Well, I can try to be there, Brian. It's just if I'm working, it'll be.
I don't think that's an invite. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, of course. If you can be there, be there. You guys are. Okay. We assume that all of us, if we can be there, we'll be here.
Okay, mm-hmm. Brian is now offering invitations and then rescinding them, so he is now Saban.
No, I sent the invitations via email. No, Don, you're of course going to be there.
You're always welcome, Don.
You're always welcome. I pick on Don too much. It's because I love Don. He's like
love. I'd hate to see.
Don's just not like my friend on the podcast. Don's my friend. So,
Don, think about it this way: if one of us hated you, we would just not talk to you in the first place.
Yes. Yeah, we're not just people who hang out on the podcast. We're all friends in real life, so hopefully it comes across. But you know what the funny thing is? Because people complain about everything. There are people who complain, these guys are just friends.
Wait, what? Well,
yes.
What?
If we hated each other, it would make for a really bad podcast.
I've got it from multiple people. It's like, this is just a bunch of friends hanging out together talking about Transformers.
Yeah.
Like, and?
What are you talking
about? With all
about?
Different opinions.
Yeah, that's every podcast.
No, not every podcast. Well, not every. But
the good ones.
The good ones,
yeah,
yes.
The good ones.
Yeah. The fun ones.
The fun ones, yeah. But, yeah. Okay, hey, okay, who got G2 Superion?
Mine's in my pile of loot, but yes, I have him.
I don't have it yet.
Not Brian.
John, did you go ahead and order one?
Yeah, because I didn't pre-order that night. We talked about pre-ordering.
So, yeah, a friend of mine posted a link to a pre-order on a retailer that I think a lot of. So I went ahead and pre-ordered it. You know, I didn't know when they were going to get it. Of course, I didn't think about Amazon getting another stock so soon, even though I should have known that because that's, you know, history. So I pre-ordered it elsewhere, and I don't know when I'm going to get it. I thought about just buying another one and having two.
Yeah,
I got it from a link that Brian sent out, and I was like, "Oh, it's available now." Because I was waiting, kind of Friday, and I kept checking. And I was like, "Oh, it's not available yet on Amazon," because I figured it was going to go up a lot quicker. And I kept checking back, and then I just stopped checking, and I saw your tweet, and I was like, "Bought."
Yeah, I used our Amazon link.
Yeah.
Dawn.
Okay.
Well, I was going to get it at Amazon, and then I realized that I may be at work when it goes back up, and I don't want to miss it at both places because they were the same price at both places. And with Super Saver shipping, I'm only paying like $5 shipping. So
I would have paid $0 shipping at Amazon, Don.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Like I did. Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, it's that versus
the plugs later, guys.
Yeah.
TFRadio.net/G2. Yeah. Okay.
But you know, but I figured either I don't get it now, and then both places sell out, and then I got to wait again for a restock somewhere. So I said, I'm not going to worry about the $5.
So I'm not complaining about the site that I got it from because, you know, they just don't get their stock. Not every retailer gets the stock the same way. Great retailer. I'm sticking through it. I'm going to wait until I get it because I don't have to have it now, though I do really want it now.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you know, and this way, I look at it this way. There are people out there that, I mean, I like G2 Superion. I'm going to get them, obviously. But I don't have to. Now, if this was Bruticus or Minosaur, you know, those I have a lot more affection for. Minnesota because no one ever got one.
Exactly.
Right. That's why. That's why. That's the one I'm more interested in having.
I just wish I liked Minnesota. I don't like Combiner Wars.
Well,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, this is more of a gotta have the G2 versus, oh, it's another Minnesota, you know. Now, yeah. I will be triple dipping on Bruticus's because I did find, like I said, I tweeted this last week. My Kmart had the three of the four Bruticus limbs and they scanned $4 a piece.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I went, they were laying on a deck plate with no prices on them. Because, you know, most places don't, you know, even Kmart doesn't Garvey stuff much anymore. And, you know, with the Garvey gun. So I took over to the scanner and it said $16.99, advertised price $4. I said, okay. I went to the register and bought them. And then I went back for 45 minutes looking for the Brawl.
I wonder why they're going out of business.
Could have been a cross reference with a previously clearance item,
maybe they were like listed it under movie stuff.
So you're rationalizing why you got it at. In my mind, not saying I wouldn't do it, but in my mind that's kind of almost dishonest, isn't it? Because you know it's a mistake.
No, I mean, you know, I didn't know. I just figured, hey, it's, you know, it's coming up $4.
That's,
you know,
not his problem, Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, I walked out with a free stereo from Walmart once because it rang up $0.
You did?
Okay, so... And I had that in my pocket, turns out.
It's a lot better than the people that know, like, this is, you know, $30 and they find it in a $10 spot. And
you have to give it to me for
$10.
That's true.
Right. There's a distinct difference with that. Yeah. But if someone logged it in the computer system to scan at that price, like, that's no fault of your own.
So
like,
I want to so
obligate. Even if you told them at when you're at the cash register, they can't really do anything about it.
Yeah. I'm gonna complain about something real quick. And this is an old complaint, obviously, when you hear what it's about, but I'm a sucker. So Image Anime.
Yeah, that is an old complaint, Kilby.
Yeah, Image Anime, yes. Image Anime, back years ago, got in Beast Wars Metal's Ravage. So I ordered it. You know, I had to have it. I wanted it. So they sent it to me. And 2 days later, they sent it to me again. So I got two. So I contacted their customer service, and I'm like, hey, you sent me two of these. What do you want me to do? Send it back to us. Okay. How do I get, like, a shipping label or something? No, just send it back to us. So I ended up paying the return, because I'm a sucker, to Image Anime.
You know, it doesn't really matter to me what it is, but if someone makes a mistake and sends me two of something, and they expect me to pay out of my pocket for the return postage, they're not getting it back.
Yeah. I was more of a sucker, but I was more inclined to be a goody-goody back then than I am now. But now I would have been like,
thanks.
Yeah. I mean, heck, you know, I don't have many stores locally, and of course they all know me after living here for so long.
Don, but... everybody knows you. Hey, Don. Hey, you brought a friend with you today. That's great.
But I've even gone in and I've pulled down sale signs that were left up when the sale was over. I've told them when stuff was put in the wrong spot that I had no interest in, you know, but I wanted to let them know that, you know, I was walking by and saw this. So I try to balance out what little good karma I get with, you know, everything else. You know, I try to balance it out.
I like how Don phrased that, though. I let people know when there's stuff in the wrong spot that I'm not interested in. You there, come remove these items from my presence. They offend me.
Yeah.
I had a very large retailer. I bought the Xbox One, the day one edition.
Oh, God, I remember this.
And they sent it to me, and like 6 months later, they started sending me like a notice like, oh, there was a problem with your credit card processing. And I called the credit card company, and they told me just to ignore the notices. And I did, and eventually they stopped sending them.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to retail.
Hey, so did anybody get anything else besides Superion?
Nope.
I got three Combaticon.
Yeah, that was true.
Congratulations, Don.
For the price of one.
Yeah.
Less, actually.
Yeah, less.
Oh, my God.
If you would have found all four of them at that price, it still would have been less than the price of one.
it's weird. A friend of mine, Op Prime, on one of the boards, Paladin I know, he found me a Brawl at retail. Huh. And so, but I'm paying more for Brawl and shipping than I have paid for the other three.
I was thinking about doing a Brawl fix video where I just like kind of douse it with gasoline and light it on fire. Be like, this is the fix.
I'm hoping I get a decent one, but I mean, with my luck that I had on the other three, I'm not going to really complain if it's in that bad of a shape because he'll be in combined mode most of the time.
You know, hopefully it's indicative of the mold in general going forward, but Pete Sinclair was on another show recently and had the sample of Ramhorn, and it looked like the waste was actually solid now.
Good.
So at the minimum, I hope that's true of the entire run of the BotCon figure because that's going to suck for people.
Yeah.
Getting their exclusive, and it's like the retail Brawl, but hopefully that indicates that somebody noticed this and made the adjustment going forward, so all of them are like that.
Yeah, and if you can fix that one problem with that mold, I can overlook anything else.
Yeah,
it's just that one flaw is so glaring that you pick every little thing apart.
Let's go ahead and jump to. Go ahead, Chris.
The one flaw stands out above everything else. If you remove that, the only thing the mold has against it is just, like, slightly awkward arms. And, like, there are so many figures that have slightly awkward arms, it's not even an issue.
I have slightly awkward arms.
You certainly do,
Kelly. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. So, 2006, IDW Publishing launches their first Transformers line in earnest with Infiltration Issue 1. Who else read Infiltration?
I still haven't read Infiltration.
No.
I think you got it out of the library once.
Yeah. that was I don't remember if it was this or if it was like All Hail Megatron or something, which gave me the impression that IDW's books weren't good.
Oh, it's probably All Hail Megatron. They'll be like that.
Yeah, like, remember when we used to think, or used to not think, we knew that the IDW Transformers books weren't top-notch? And now they're award winning.
All Hail Megatron's fault.
Yeah, now it's award winning. Now it's like, you know, it's recognized as an actually legitimately good book. But if somebody started reading it, you know, back 10 years ago, you would have thought that it was crap.
Maybe that'll happen with the movies.
No, it's too late for that.
Yeah. But now I remember that the big sell on Infiltration was EJ Sue's artwork, which was.
And, of course, that Furman was writing it.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
I remember at the time being more excited about the artwork because that was the best a Transformers comic had looked, you know, up to that time.
And Furman was writing stuff for Dreamwave, too, so it's not like it had been forever since he had written something.
Yeah.
No, but people still like Furman's writing.
Some people still do.
Yeah, some people still do.
Yeah.
Sounds very quiet.
No, I just feel like Furman's kind of been eclipsed at this point.
Oh God, yes.
I'm certainly not trying to invalidate his fans that he has.
I would say he's been eclipsed in quality, not in a quantity of quality.
Well, I'm just going to say I think that if Furman had continued writing Transformers through the interim with other publications and things such as that, his written voice would be probably a lot stronger, having kept up with all the changes through the years. Him going back and trying to write like he did back in the day when he was living in that universe consistently, the voice is not going
to
be different.
Is this like when Shatner tried to go back and emulate the way that he acted in Star Trek, the original series?
I don't know. I can't take that much ham. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
You
I
like
think
Furman.
That, I'm just saying, as strong as the writers are today, I think if Furman had been more involved in the universe through the stopped years, his writing voice would be on par with what you're seeing today. But I still love his contributions to everything we've got.
I love his contributions from the early '90s back. Yeah, not so much.
Well, yeah, I mean,
not so much for anything after.
Not like. With the early IDW stuff, he had a lot of interesting ideas he was trying to put forward with that, and ultimately the change in direction that led to All Hail Megatron kind of cut him off before he could resolve most of it.
And that's one reason I stopped reading IDW, is I was really invested in seeing where a lot of this stuff was going, and it's like, I'm not going to spend that much money per issue on All Hell Megatron when they're basically he's leaving the book. The ideas that he's doing is not going to be followed through in any meaningful dialogue. I'm pissed. I'm not buying it. That's just the way I felt.
And
you weren't the only one, I don't think.
And I felt fine with Furman's writing in the modern period up until we got to Regeneration 1. And basically, like Don's been trying to say, the disconnect from what he wrote back then to what he was writing in the present at that time, it was just too big. It was not the same thing anymore. And the style didn't match anymore either. Like, it was too... Rob and I have talked about this at great length, as almost as much as we have an opportunity to. All the Regeneration 1 story was so decompressed right up until the last like two or three issues when everything happened all at once.
Yeah,
and then the pacing
absolutely tanked on that for me. That's so, what really ruined it.
I want to diverge real quick before we jump to the news. So one thing I really appreciate about IDW is on Comixology and Kindle, since Amazon, hint, owns Comixology now, basically the Kindle library and Comixology library are interoperable. So, but basically on non-new IDW Transformers books, the cover price, they cut it in half and it goes down to $1.99.
Good.
So if you don't keep up necessarily, you can get new books for $1.99. So I just clicked Transformers More Than Meets the Eye number 45 just to make sure to validate that it works on Kindle and Comixology. And I noticed that it only had a review of 1 star. And so I just went down to see, only one person reviewed it, but I just loved the comment, not what I was expecting. Yeah, More Than Meets the Eye is probably not what you're expecting if you're expecting something kind of like a Furman Transformers comic or a Budiansky Transformers comic. Yeah, it's an acquired taste, but it's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the news. Again, all news items can be found at tfradio.net/451. And just a reminder, that's tfradio.net/the episode number. So whatever episode you're listening to, if this is hopefully 3 years from now, if we're up to episode 550, you can go to tfradio.net/550. People listen to this stuff. People still download this stuff years later, so just throwing that out there. So, hello from the past. Okay. So, I wanted to actually talk about this first. I moved this around. New information and first tiny little image of Unite Warriors Blastoff, plus more Transformers Adventure. So, we have an image of Blastoff. Sort of.
Yay.
It certainly is an image of Blastoff. It actually kind of looks like that, not the box art, but maybe like the what do we call that when you see the photos of the other Transformers product on like a card or a box?
Cross sales.
Is that cross sales?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, yeah. also available at the bottom, on the bottom of a box or something. Yeah, that's called cross sales.
Okay, it almost looks kind of like this from the same angle and everything, like the Astro Train from Classics to me, for whatever reason. But yeah, it's there he is, little Blastoff.
Yay, it's a shuttle.
It's a shuttle.
And it's a new mold.
And Big Bad has this, actually, I think, like $30 less than they had Defensor.
$135. It's not an exclusive.
That's okay. That makes sense then.
Which is actually why we have this image. The scans that we're looking at are from a retailer order sheet. And
this is
technically not supposed to be posted online. Oops.
This is one I'll definitely get because, I mean, it's not that much different from the box set for G2 Superion. I mean,
it's
$100. So an extra $35. It's imported. I think that's worth it.
Yeah.
And you get a blast off, a real blast off.
And so it's a vortex with 4 blades.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm lukewarm on that one.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I wish they would have done some more to it.
They've made some changes to the stock Combiner Wars transformation scheme. It looks like the shuttle's nose and cockpit section actually fold down to make the torso instead of just folding back to be a backpack, which is actually kind of in line with how Blastoff's robot mode is structured in the cartoon design.
Before I commit to this pre-order, I want to see color photos.
Okay, so Figure King magazine, which should be out later this week, actually should have bigger pictures. Probably not color yet, but at least more detail visible.
Cool.
Well, you know, the one thing on the American version of Blastoff, I understood the jet, I understood all that, but them not using a closer accurate head when it's available, that really bugged me for some reason. It's minor when you've got Brawl's waist issue and some other stuff, but not using like the Fireflight head, that would have been a lot closer. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm still going to wind up getting the American version because of reasons, but again, cheap helps. But you know, I'm definitely down for the this, and of course, I'll be getting the G2 version because I'm a Bruticus fanboy. I'll admit it up front, and then I'll buy Ruination, and then I'll buy Battle Gaia, I'll buy Voldigus.
if such a thing happens,
hopefully. Yeah.
And we're getting so for Transformers Adventure, we're getting a new Optimus. And it does it include a new Minicon or something? What is that?
It's kind of a Breast Force Minicon when you get down to it. It turns into a chest plate.
And wings, I think.
I think the wings are separate, but they can be applied to either Optimus or the Minicon, if I'm looking at it properly.
That just looks weird.
It does.
It's like Optimus Prime.
I do too.
Optimus Prime Angel mode.
Yeah, and it's possible that this is actually a new mold and not that Takara exclusive Optimus Prime again.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of thinking that might be the case.
Yeah.
Don, I would think you'd be all over this, though. This looks brave as hell.
Well, I do. See, I'm debating because I like it, but I kind of like the second version of the mold. It's a little more simplistic, not simple. It's a little simpler styled, but it has. I don't know. I'm sort of bouncing back and forth between them. But you're right. It's brave as hell.
Bubbles bounce.
Bubbles float.
Bumbles. Oh,
I hadn't noticed the wings folded back on the truck in vehicle mode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that's something.
And also, there is a full translation of the product names, listings, and pricing for all the Transformers Adventure product coming out between April and June up on tformers.com.
Awesome.
Excellent.
So I have basically made the decision that any Transformers Adventure stuff I get, I'm just going to get through Amazon whenever it pops up.
That's probably not a bad idea. It's usually pretty cheap.
Like, honestly, like a lot of retailers, toy dealers will actually have their Takara stock up on Amazon not too much longer or after like pre-orders go out. So I canceled my pre-order for Unite Wars Defensor, but it's up. Like, there are lots of them. What in the world is this? Sorry, Don just posted something. Oh my, it's a Batman Rainbow action figure.
Yeah, it is. It is a box set of Rainbow Batman.
Oh my God. Okay. So I have to share this.
That is the laziest set of
it's only $60, Don. We need this.
I wish the mold looked a little better because I would like a 1940s Batman action figure that looked better than this.
I wish the orange one had more contrast between the bodysuit and the tights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that's just so Maddie to me.
Yeah.
And it's just
oh, it's Maddie Collector, no wonder.
No, it's DC Direct, actually.
Is it?
Oh, it is? I saw the cheap repaints and thought Maddie Collector.
But to finish off my thought, Unite Warriors Defensor is up on Amazon and lots of people have it. And if you know supply and demand work out like it should, hopefully demand will drop, so will the price, and I might actually pick it up if it drops down to like 130.
Although at this point, like, you know, if you're good with your Hasbro Defensor, just wait for the Computron set to come out and you'll get the bike mold anyway.
Yeah, but I don't.
But it's not Groove though.
Yeah, I want Groove.
Okay.
But I don't really, I guess, want it for $140. But I don't know.
No, you don't. You don't want just Groove for $140. Believe me, you don't just want Groove for $140.
Good point.
Luckily, Streetwise and Hotspot have really nice colors.
This is true. Hotspot needs some paint added, but the plastic color is very nice.
Cool. Okay, so moving along. Hey, guess what? We have our box art for G2 Minasaur.
Yeah, because that's actually out in stores in Malaysia.
Really?
Yeah.
I really want...
It's not supposed to come out here till March, I think?
I believe so, yes.
That sounds about right. I really want a G2 Minasaur. I just don't want this G2 Minasaur.
Yeah.
Do you remember I got that Perfect Effect body filler kit for Motormaster a few months ago?
Yeah.
I was kind of lukewarm on it. The sad thing is, if they make one colored for the G2 Minasaur, I'll probably still buy it anyway, because it makes the body shape look so much better.
I don't want to be a terrible person, but I just kind of want to KO G2 Minasaur. And I think I would be happy with that.
If it was a good quality knockoff, yeah, I would kind of enjoy that too.
Yeah, like if I could get that, I would be happy. Just because I don't like the Combiner Wars Minasaur.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Combiner Wars Stunicons themselves are fine. It's just Motormaster makes a bad torso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good point.
Well, hopefully this has the fixed Motormaster. I mean, there's no reason it shouldn't have the fixed Motormaster.
I'm sure it will.
Oh, yeah.
But they still can't fix it to make me happy.
Yeah.
No. Without giving me a new Motormaster.
Yeah, because I've got all six now, and I like them all as robots, I like them all as vehicles, and I hate them all as Minasaur.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the limbs as Minasaur.
Yeah, it's just Motormaster himself.
Yeah, it's just the big pile in the middle.
I don't hate Minasaur as much as you guys do. He is definitely my least favorite of them all.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, this is kind of cool because with the way they're doing the box art and they've got that gigantic Minasaur on the front, you could have the individual Stunicons on display and just have the box behind them to represent Minasaur.
You know, you've got a point, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Hey, so we have new photos, basically final production photos of Masterpiece Ratchet. And I don't know. I don't hate it as much as I did.
Yeah,
he looks better than Ironhide.
He does.
Yep. You know why? Because he doesn't have a diaper.
He does still have those stupid panels on his hips, though.
I can live with the panels with Ratchet for some reason.
You know, this is kind of a strange parallel, but it's kind of like Classics Ironhide and Classics Ratchet. Classics Ironhide didn't look quite as bad as Classics Ratchet. I mean, reverse that. Classics Ratchet didn't look as bad as Ironhide because it kind of helped the panel lines not be as visible. But I still think they're missing it on this Masterpiece Ratchet. And those hip panels are so brave. I keep expecting him to pull them off and throw them as throwing stars or something.
I could see that. That would be awesome, great. Don.
That would justify their existence so much.
Or they could become like...
What they should do is have them where they can be easily removed and just call them, like, defibrillator panels.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Like
you beat me to it.
Animated.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I have seen people say in text that those panels are supposed to be able to fold around to the back side. But I've never seen anybody prove that.
Yeah, I have yet to see anybody do that. And if I were trying to sell this toy, I would have shown that at least once.
Yeah, the tires are on the back, so I don't think the tires
fold back. I don't think the panels do.
How's that Dr. Pepper tin, Don?
It's pretty good. I've been trying to lay off the soda a lot lately.
So Don, for people not watching the video, Don just downed a 2-liter bottle of Dr. Pepper tin.
I've only drank about a third of it.
He's giving up soda, yet he is drinking straight from a 2-liter bottle.
Well, when you live by yourself, why bother with a cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all the backwash.
I'm only drinking it, so who cares?
But, you know, it dilutes the soda. Sorry.
Shelby, please.
Okay, so moving along.
Please stop overthinking this.
Yeah.
Transformers.
Well, please stop overthinking that thing in particular.
So, Chris, you wrote this item. I'm just going to let you talk about this. So, BotCon 2016.
Yeah, that's the thing that's happening. So this isn't part of this news item, but pre-registration did open this morning. And full credit where it's due, everything seems to have went perfectly smoothly. So congratulations to FunPub for getting one registration right since they went online.
Too bad it's possibly the last one.
We're assuming, but we don't know for sure.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
possibly.
But if they do the show next year, hopefully the registration runs just as well as it did this year.
Yes.
So a variety of things were revealed. Probably what's the most interesting for people is that it was revealed there's going to be a particular exclusive figure only for people who get golden ticket pre-registration level. Which I will remind you is $325 above the price of a Primus package.
Let's make everyone angry.
What else is included?
They're good at that.
Besides the seating, like at events, what else is included with the golden
ticket? Well, you get three of everything.
Early pickup, I think.
Meet and greet with the guests.
Yeah, there's a special reception for golden ticket holders.
Now, I have to admit about
that. Panels.
I have to admit, was Scott McNeil going to be there? A private dinner or a private meet and greet with Scott McNeil could almost be worth the ticket price itself.
Can I be honest? Not to sound terrible, but for $300, I wouldn't even want a private dinner with my dead mother. So, I wouldn't even pay $300 for that.
That's
a lot of baggage.
Well, yeah, not if she's dead. That would just be unpleasant.
That would be unpleasant.
So we've found out since that the golden ticket exclusive is going to be the same mold from the Troop Builder 3-pack, which it's a Legends 3-pack for the Troop Builder this year, but will be cheaper than the previous Troop Builders. So it's going to be that same mold in different colors, and it's not going to be Beast Wars related.
I'm just wondering. I'm thinking is it's going to be our version of with the blackjack mold. It'll be our run amok, our runabout, and a third whoever you could pull from that mold. So that
you know would be cool. You know how in Devastation they had like the battle charger body in different colors.
You know what they could be coloring them as? They could be coloring them as drone characters from Devastation.
I've seen a custom of that, and it really does look good in multiple colors.
Yeah.
I would be all for that, but
yeah, and then the golden ticket one can be the other actual battle charger character. No, your sneaker theory is probably also not without merit.
Yeah.
Although it is specifically called out as being a Combiner Wars mold, and that you'd be splitting hairs calling the Seeker one a Combiner Wars mold, even though it has come out again in the Combiner Wars branding.
Yeah.
But if they want to do battle chargers out of that blackjack mold, I'm down.
Viper.
Yes.
Tiger Force Viper.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I would die.
Of all
just
the legends,
Brian's head explode.
Of all the legends, Hourglide is probably the least one I'd want to see in a pack of three. I mean, I like it as Power Glide, but I wouldn't want to see it as a,
bite your tongue.
But I do have to say one thing, Chris, about
Tiger
the registration.
Force Viper.
I registered today, got the Primus package, and again, very smoothly, no problems. But I have to say, $7 online processing fee. I'm sorry. This is a storefront. We're buying a thing. And I mean, if you were trying to pay for the production of the new website, that 1 year, I could kind of see that. I'm just saying if. But this far after the revamped registration process, and it's a $7 fee.
Well, so the fee I'm certain goes toward the actual processing of the credit card. Mm-hmm. I mean, normally that's just baked into to cost, but you're also paying for that. So my best guess is either they just don't want to pay for it and don't want to bake it into the cost because somebody would have to pay taxes on that cost.
Yeah,
it's just easier for them to do this.
It just seems like I just dropped $400 for us. Sorry, I just dropped $400 for a set. It's not the extra $7. It's just it irks me that we're paying a processing fee.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Oh yeah,
I'm not disagreeing. I'm rationalizing.
Why is there not free internet on the TV?
No, it's
that's actually a pretty good question.
for what we were paying, because regular people got it for free. But I'm just saying, it should have been built in somewhere. It just strikes me as if Hobbyland Japan, Big Bad Toy Store, if all these people had a processing fee for every transaction, do you think they would be as popular as they are now with retail, with customers? It's just something that's always irked me, and I was hoping it would have gone away this year. But
next year is a new year.
Well, every year is a new year.
Yep. Every year is a new year. Okay.
So, again, I'm not mad at anybody. This is not something to get, internet angry about.
Okay, Pete, you're hearing this. Don is pissed off, and he wants to talk to you at BotCon, okay? Brian Savage, Don is looking for you. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
So, we've also had some clues dropped about the custom class figure.
Cool.
It's going to be a Combiner Wars mold, but it's going to be a character from 84 or 85, and it's going to use one of the unused alternate head sculpts.
Hey, what head can we shove on Alpha Bravo? We can use him for something.
Well, everybody right now is kind of guessing toward it being Ratchet.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, because we've got Ironhide.
First aid mold?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, because the head sculpt for that does exist in the design.
Yeah. Like
that would be cool.
As with a couple other things, it would have been not been my choice to see that happen as an exclusive, but I would like to see that happen because I think that mold would make a really nice Ratchet.
And see, me too. I'm of the opposite mind. I don't care because I don't think that mold's actually really suited for being Ratchet or Ironhide.
Okay, I think it would do pretty well as both, actually. But make a better Ironhide than what we got. I'll put it that way.
I would assume, and I could be wrong, that John would have a better idea of this. That's probably an easy custom class figure to build into.
I just got back. What are we talking about?
Transformers? Custom class hints, possibly reusing an 84, 85 head that's not been used yet.
Hooray, 84, 85. It's about time.
Well, the running theory is Ratchet.
Ratchet would be really easy because you'd have a toy that's mostly white plastic.
That sounds like a horribly boring custom class.
Doesn't it just?
Awesome.
Here's the thing. FunPub is going to surprise us all. It'll be the Groove mold that they got from Japan.
But who would be
84
and
85? We get to see the alternate head for it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The alternate head. So who would it be? The alternate head would be Groove.
It would be a Rengar.
It'd be a... Well, no, 86.
No, you know
86.
What, you know what they, you know what they would... Oh, yeah, because it couldn't be Override then either. I was going to say they would just do the opposite of the Transformers Adventure thing and make the deluxe.
That would be awesome.
Override.
I would
love
that.
84, 85 character. It's right in front of us, dude. If it's the Groove mold, the character is Psykill.
Oh, my God, yes.
That was 83.
Oh, my God. I would kill myself.
That was 83.
I'll never leave the classroom.
I'll
just bask in the glory. Hey, just real quick, one quick note from me, and it's not woe is me. It's just more like, yeah, BotCon's not cheap. So I got a Primus package for myself and my wife because when you do the math, it's basically the same as getting like the attendee but no toy package. It's like $120, and Primus is $400. And if you're going to sell the toys, then it kind of the math kind of works out. Anyway, two Primus packages plus one class is effectively $1,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm
eating ramen for like 3 months.
Sure.
I skipped out on the custom class because I'm not going to be there early enough to partake in that.
I am debating whether to go Primus or not. I've only done it once before because I'm all about like doing BotCon on the cheap. I actually enjoy going and spending as little as possible. Me, I am a spendaholic. But there's some I draw weird satisfaction by spending as little as possible.
Well, I mean, BotCon is a thing that's built around spending a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Like, the whole model of that is go and buy tons of crap to haul back with you, probably in an airplane, not in your case, obviously, but, you know, try to haul, basically pull a Don and run through an airport with a Grand Max under your arm.
Yeah.
No, but, like, it becomes an interesting challenge to then try to go and do and have your time and your experience there, but spend as little as possible in the pursuit of that. It's a game, basically.
So I go to hang out with people and see friends, which is cheap.
Yeah.
So that's why BotCon has been such a big, important thing for me, is because it's a chance where I get to see people that I never get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't cost anything to do that. But I may go Primus because, I don't want to do I've done it twice now. I've done, maybe I've done press more than twice, but it's not a good experience.
No, it's not.
It's not.
That's true.
And, it just isn't. That's not a complaint. It's just.
I mean, we're certainly very grateful for the opportunity to go and have access to cover the event.
Oh, absolutely.
I just wish there was more of the events we could cover, like, you know, the and Hall I think of Fame that, that's induction.
I think that's a very fair point to make, yes.
But I'll say this. So, like, when we go press, it's almost kind of a cheat because we're going to go anyway. It's just a matter of going as press means that we get to cover it. And we get a little, sometimes a little bit of extra, you know, access to things. Mm-hmm. But honestly, we're going to cover it anyway, so I might as well pay for it. So, but I'm debating Primus or Minicon or whatever the other option is. I don't remember.
Minicon's an add-on for a Primus package.
So what's the non-Primus package?
Protoform?
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do a walk-in because...
Yeah, Iacon's the non-attending, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a walk-in because I actually want to go to all the stuff. So, yeah. Wow, we went deep on that. Anything else from that item?
Picture of a production sample of Ravage, which has a really nice color of like bluish gray plastic for the secondary color.
Yeah, I really want Ravage. I don't really want the rest so much, but I want Ravage.
Ravage only has any appeal to me because it feels more like an alternator's callback.
Yeah,
which is a kind of neat thing to me to get reference to.
The one alternator that everyone's like, it's
no diecast. That's most alternators that everybody's like that towards.
Yeah, I think that's cat Ravage more than anything. Like,
so,
you know, quadruped Ravage, kind of.
So I'm actually really excited about this next item, and it goes back to some conversations that John and I have had on Get the Skinny. We're getting a Transformers Robots in Disguise Happy Meal set.
Ooh.
And the thing I like about Happy Meals, if you're an adult, the Happy Meal is actually just about the right serving size. So it's a chance to go to McDonald's and not overeat, as long as you get one. don't get multiple.
Isn't that what adults in the 1950s called dinner?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. So weird thing is, though, about these Happy Meal toys, you know, they've gotten cheaper and cheaper over the years, and they've gotten simpler and simpler. These don't transform, which is normal, but they come in two forms. So you get like Optimus in a robot mode or Optimus as a truck.
And, I thought they transformed by looking at the photo.
You do think that. But no, they don't. So you get one, and then you get to go buy another Happy Meal, and you get the other at some point.
And then it also says, scan your toy to unlock a game.
So I don't know if that's going to follow the same scheme that the Robots in Disguise toys do now. I doubt it, but it may.
Or it might just be some little, you know, little mini game or something.
Could be.
I'm sure McDonald's has their own app, and that's where it unlocks in.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably.
So this item popped up this week. I know it showed up in, I think, an inventory system in the past.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. The same time as Computron, I think.
Okay, so it is a new Platinum Edition box set, The Planet of Junk, which includes a horrendously colored Rodimus, and I guess that's Retgar, and what was
Scrap
the
Heap.
Scrap Heap. So that certainly is a set.
Was it
okay, well, no. Okay, so there actually is something of note here, which is that the Rodimus mold in this is actually named Autobot Hot Rod on the package.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
And that's probably the only reason the set actually exists, to make the name grab.
Yeah. Fine with me. We're back, neat. Baby.
But still, wasn't there that their solution to everything? Just if they can't really use the name, throw Autobot in front of it?
Why not just
the way
he didn't like to do that, though.
The way the trademark thing works is if it's a common word, they can strengthen their claim on it by putting the Autobot prefix on it. If another company holds that name and trademark, they can't do it no matter what suffix or prefix they put on it. It's just inaccessible. So by whatever means, they've figured out, okay, we can probably do this way. So they're making this just to legitimize it. Like, a lot of people are thinking right now, this is probably going to point to there being a new mold Titans Return hot rod at some point.
Very possible. But we already have the Legends toy. Couldn't they just, like, just sell it again, but just change the name on the SKU?
I wonder if that would work, honestly, but, you know.
I mean, based off the Blackjack mold.
Which is a better toy than that Classics Hot Rod.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I like the Classics Hot Rod. I think it was good at the time it came out.
Ten years ago, yes.
It was fine at the time it came out. It was not so fine like 2 years after it came out.
Yeah.
Or 5 years after it came out when they re-released it again.
Yeah, that's one of those molds I don't need to see issued anymore.
So another interesting point on this, the two Junkions appear to be both molded in the same plastic colors, and they're just having different paint apps to differentiate themselves. Plus Scrap Heap has one of the alternate Junkion heads.
So
that
this
sucks.
This
That's
is basically just a
get it.
Yeah. This is just a cheap set.
It's a cheap produced set. The only known listed price for this is in the neighborhood of $100.
Yeah. Well, not get that.
No.
I have a shelf full of those Junkions already.
I was picking up at cons for like, you know, $10 a Junkion, so I got plenty.
Heck, I found Brian a Junkion at Ross for $6.99.
Yeah, I already had it and I didn't remember. Basically, it turns out whenever Don finds me something, I'm like, yeah, get that for me, but I already have it.
Just like those video games he goes and buys.
This is true. I don't remember what I have. So funny.
You know, I should buy this because I have this, but I don't have one with the box.
I don't. I like having the box for video games. I can't help it.
No, but it's hard to tell from this picture, but it looks like the Scrap Heap head is the same one that was on Subscription Tarantulas, and it still has the mandible paint apps on the sides.
Damn. Gotta have it.
Okay, for that I want it. Oh God. Okay.
Anyway,
so
we can move on now.
Yeah. What else we got to look at here? Oh yeah. Chikaratomi reveals wireframe model of Masterpiece Optimus Primal. Are they calling it Optimus Primal or Beast Convoy?
They're probably gonna call it Optimus Primal given how they're trying to tie things together more.
Actually it says Convoy in
Does
Japanese,
it?
So yeah.
Okay.
Convoy with Beast Wars in parentheses. So
yeah,
I'm
starting to live with them calling Optimus Prime instead of Convoy, but there's something about calling Optimus Primal. To me, is Beast Convoy if it's Japanese. I don't know.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
But it's like Brian, you're weird. Shut up. Okay, so
it'd be weird if it translated to monkey not truck.
That would be great. But that sure is a wireframe.
Yeah. Now, are wireframes like a step above your blackout silhouettes in terms of, you know, something to be newsworthy?
No. So, a line art drawing would be the step above a silhouette. And then a wireframe is the step above that. Then a full CGI render would be the step above that. And then a 3D print is the step beyond that.
Well, you put a lot of thought into this.
And then you get
this
into
is what
real
he does.
News. the same way Kilby overthinks the physics of backwash into soda, I think about the tiers of third party news reveals, or in this case, Masterpiece.
Yeah.
I still just think this is going to be a little bit nicer than the Ultra Class Optimus Primal.
Well, the one thing about this that I particularly like is they're designing it so it can have the upright stance from the show, because no Optimus Primal toy before, no season one Optimus Primal toy before has been able to do that correctly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
The Ultra couldn't do it. The Robot Masters one, which was very closely based on that, couldn't do it. Now, of course, Transmetal Primal is designed just to have an upright stance by default.
Mm.
But that doesn't really count.
Yeah. Okay, so just quickly, last two items. Masterpiece Ironhide, Test Shot, Chinese Video Review. I didn't watch it, but it's...
I skimmed it. Like, the most informative thing in it probably is just that they run through transforming it so you can kind of see how that works on the actual toy.
But we got that cartoon of it, or that video of it a few weeks ago, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, even that's going to be different from how it actually ends up working in, like, actual practice.
Yeah, because, you know, the little frustrating things that stick and stuff, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, a CG model can clip through itself when the parts don't quite line up.
Yeah.
Can't really do that with the physical thing, so you learn a little bit more watching the actual toy get worked on.
And
it does not, however, look any better than what we thought it was going to.
No, no, it doesn't.
No. And, finally, we already talked about BotCon 2016, but the box art for Predacus. Is it called Predacus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just Predacus.
Because, you know, there's more than three of them, so it can't be Tri-Predacus.
True. Yeah. The box set was revealed, and I like the box art.
And then the other news item we were talking about before, there's also images of the character card art.
Yeah.
For the individual members.
Yeah. The art's good, so... Is this Dan, or is this somebody else?
This is Marcelo Mateer.
Mm-hmm. And with Josh Perez on colors.
Cool.
Okay, thank you. I was not sure who was coloring it.
Yeah, it's the same people who are doing most of the mainline box set art, which is this... Is it unusual for the BotCon box set to have a trade dress this close to mainline products?
It is.
Certainly in the year it's released, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's an homage or an homage, however you want to say it, of previous box art. This is consistent with the current branding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't actually think of a time that it was this close to what was on the shelves right now.
Yeah.
Perhaps a trend.
Could be.
Could be.
The start of one.
Okay.
Kind of a shame, too, because like, they're going to these lengths to acknowledge Beast Wars for its 20th anniversary. And they're being, you know, made to have the packaging not be Beast Wars reminiscent at all.
I know, right?
Perhaps a trend.
Okay. So let's go ahead and mention...
What do you know, John? Shut up.
Hush, John. You don't know anything. You don't know what you're talking about. John, yeah, never mind. So can't say.
John's gone. John's
dead. John's gone. If John disappears. Yeah. So, hey, just a reminder, you can go to tfradio.net/Amazon and do all your Amazon purchasing there. It's awesome. It helps us out. Doesn't cost you a cent more. And Amazon sends back a little bit of change our way to pay the cost of this show and, you know, to do stuff. So, so if you want that G2 Superion, you can get it.
It's 3 cents off the suggested retail price right now.
That is fantastic.
All right. What a savings.
Go to tfradio.net/G2, and it will take you directly to the Amazon page for Superion. And you can just buy it. It's $99.96 with free Prime shipping. And Amazon will send back a little bit to us to help us
actually
pay.
Free any shipping at that price.
True. True. But yeah, it's totally, totally worth $100. Yeah, so
it's pretty fantastic.
It looks pretty fantastic.
It's great.
And remember, everybody, buy one of these so that we can keep getting these box sets and eventually get G2 Defensor to complete the G2 Combiner sets.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Good point. Do your civic duty. So buy 5 of these.
Send me one.
Me too.
Well,
it was my birthday yesterday. Do something nice for me.
Yeah.
You know, I got to thinking, if they G2'd all of the combiners, what would you color Lion Kaiser? Because he's already kind of in G2 colors as is.
That's true.
Maybe they'll be selling Lion Kaiser's G2 Skyrain.
Yeah, they could. They absolutely
You know,
could.
That would probably be the safest way to market it as a G2 Skyrain.
So it's kind of funny. Speaking of Amazon, a friend at work who doesn't listen to our podcast, but he has made a point to change his Amazon link on his browser just to tfradio.net/Amazon. So whenever he buys something, he buys it through our link. He's like, yeah, I don't listen to your show, but I like you, so I'll do that.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't cost him anything.
Doesn't cost him a cent more. No, it's pretty great. So actually, that's not a bad thing to do. So if you want to support us and you want to make it easy for yourself, just go to your browser and bookmark Amazon and change the URL to tfradio.net/Amazon, and you are done.
Actually, couldn't we make a thing to put on the website
so
people
one.
Can click and generate a bookmark?
I have one.
Okay.
Don, we're looking at you.
Yeah, Don. So if you go,
I mean, that won't really help unless Don actually just starts buying stuff on Amazon in the first place.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's I just don't. You know, that's why I let my subscription to Prime, no pun intended, drop, because I just don't buy that much there.
So actually, to XV's point, so I'm showing the video here. If you go to tfradio.net, on the right side you have the little Amazon link. It says drag this Amazon link to your favorite bar or folder to bookmark. Literally, you just drag it to your bar and it's done. It's basically, you don't even have to, you basically make one click, drag, and you have bookmarked it.
Usually drag women to my bar, but that'll work.
Too. Or drag them out of the bar. Yeah.
No, I usually get dragged out of the bar.
Yeah, that's true.
You were thrown out of the bar in public.
In public. So we don't have any third-party news that we wanted to talk about, because I didn't actually even see any third-party news this week.
It's been kind of dry on the third-party front for the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah. The next two Not Lyle Kaiser parts went up for pre-order.
Okay.
They're made by TFC, right?
Yeah. But I've watched the reviews. I've watched the reviews. They look pretty good.
I've watched some reviews too, and they look like
TFC?
Extremely very overcomplicated for what they are, and just I don't like the proportions of the combined mode parts. I don't like the way they're engineered. So yeah, they look TFC.
Cool. Okay. So let's
That's
see.
It's really not cool, but I understand you're trying to move along.
Yes. You nailed it. So this week on the network, Get the Skinny, episode 34. John and I talk about Chipotle's attempt to regain lost market share. The closing of the Sweeten Low plant in Brooklyn. Other artificial sweeteners. Brian learns how to finally reheat pizza the right way.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And John has more exercise tips. So
there's a right way and a wrong way to heat pizza?
Reheat pizza, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you should probably listen to the Get the Skinny episode done and find out about that.
Yep.
Now, as for me, I'm more of a purist, and if the pizza's cold, I'm just going to eat it cold.
So that's what I normally do, but you know what? It's way better if you reheat it. And not just in the microwave.
The right way.
There's something to be said for cold pizza.
Yeah,
I agree. You know what's not good cold?
That depends on whose pizza it is.
Yes.
Giordano's is not good cold.
No, I would not have a deep dish pizza like that cold, because there's too much stuff.
Yeah.
If it's a normal pizza where there's a, you know, a sane bread to topping ratio.
Yeah.
That makes it a little bit different.
Hey, actually, so right now it looks like we're all going to BotCon. So
hooray.
We need to scope out. We need to scope out places to eat.
Yes.
Well, it is Kentucky, so we need to at least try some of the local barbecue.
Kentucky and has barbecue? Chicken. There are places that have
barbecue. Kentucky has barbecue, but like you probably want to make sure it's not an area with a high cat population.
Oh, God.
In Kentucky, do they actually call it Kentucky fried
chicken? Yes. No, it's called here fried chicken.
Yeah. But like, I'm surprised that there are places besides North Carolina and Texas that have barbecue. It's just a foreign concept
to
me.
Well, St. Louis has a big barbecue, but
yeah, supposedly. But I mean, I'm aware of their barbecue.
Well, it's a molasses base. It's a real thick molasses base.
Yeah.
That sounds atrocious.
Yeah. But we all know.
Got rated barbecue place at the end of my street.
North Carolina barbecue. That's where it's at. So, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. I don't remember this episode. What is this episode?
Lord Garth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking this was the Adonis episode.
No, that's Who Mourns for Adonis.
Yes, that is literally Who Mourns for Adonis.
Okay. Well, you know, I saw the title Who God's Destroying, and I was thinking, you know, the whole God tangent, not the name of the word. Never mind.
Yeah no, like, yeah, yeah, I couldn't remember the name, but Lord Garth. Makes sense. Okay.
It makes the description make sense, too.
That absolutely does.
Yeah.
Being awesome with Rob Springer. So Rob touches on the Combiner Wars news. He gushes on Lyle Kaiser, etc. And of course he has, I forgot what he calls it. Is it Question and Awesome? I think it's Question and Awesome. He has that. I love how Rob has his little how he has his basically little kingdom on Talk Transformers where he. basically, like, he's got that cornered. That Facebook group and Rob are like one. There's like this symbiotic relationship. And it's a good group.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good group. I don't post to Facebook groups as much as I should. So it's really funny. At TFCon, I think I mentioned this, but I'll mention it again because I really like the rationale. The Twincast guys were talking during the podcast panel about, you know, how it's good to have a message board and how message board is the best place to discuss. And Bobby Skullface was like, I think Facebook is the best place to discuss. And, you know, like, people on message boards, you know, can be jerks and whatever. But on Facebook, you're always just two clicks away from knowing who somebody's sister is. So when you put it that way, I'm like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
And that's not creepy at all.
Well, no, that's the point. The thing is, I will say, generally speaking, the quality of conversation, when the conversation's quality, absolutely better on message boards, since people tend to congregate in those areas. You know, experts tend to congregate where Facebook is more of a general audience. But, you know, I would say it's probably more civil on Facebook. And if you're not somebody who is, you know, needs to be surrounded by experts, Facebook's a pretty good place. Not that there aren't experts, but the ratio is off. Hey, Rob, what else is on T-Formers this week?
Mainly besides the Transformers Adventure listings I mentioned earlier, we've got my review of the last issue of Robots in Disguise Animated and XV's review of the Transformers, formerly Robots in Disguise, number 49. So I was happy to find out that this week that there is a trade paperback for Robots in Disguise Animated in the April solicitation.
Yep, I saw that. I actually had that in the news, and I thought, I don't really want to go through the solicitations.
I understand. But yeah, I'm happy to see that. That's something you can pass around. That's something you could give to kids. It's weird that, you know, I should have to be happy that there is a specific Transformers comic that is okay for small children, but life is weird and here we are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Well, let me ask y'all guys, this is something I thought of while Rob was talking about that. Could IDW usually doesn't run backup stories in their books from what I know.
Right.
Do you think if Robots in Disguise is still popular enough, just not enough to support its own series, it could run in the backup of one of the two existing books?
There's probably a reason why they don't already have backup, so doubt it.
In the past year, they actually cut the number of story pages in the comics down from, I believe, 24 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
And they're filling every one of those pages. If they add a backup strip, they'd have to take away from the remaining pages that they do have. So,
am I terrible for not reading backup stories for the most part? Like,
I don't really care.
Backup stories happen so infrequent now.
Well, like, I don't read Detective Comics anymore, but Detective Comics used to have a primary Batman story and a backup story. I would almost never read the backup story because I didn't care, because it didn't mean anything.
I've gotten over worrying about what stories mean because it's more important to me if they're good. But there's that. That's a different thing. But what I would like to see happen is if we see more specials like the Transformers Holiday Special, I'd like to see Robots in Disguise animated story in that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be like the perfect place to put that.
You know,
with nice little short 10-page stories. That would be great.
Well, it seems to me, again, I'm looking at it from a slightly different perspective, not reading the two books, I know. But like back in the day when DC had the Green Lantern Corps quarterly, we got one issue every 3 or 4 months for Green Lantern Corps, which was these basic little short anthology stories, which I really enjoy because it just wasn't Hal Jordan all the damn time. So if they did a anthology book, an annual, maybe once or twice a year, or an anthology book, or whatever, they could do all the Transformer universes that may not support a regular book, like Robots in Disguise, Car Robots, Beast Wars. They could do. RID Adventures.
No more IDW Beast Wars, Don. We went down that road once.
I know. Well, I'm just saying.
But I like the idea.
It seems like an anthology book would be a really great way to do something different.
I don't think it would sell.
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, they could do it, the first one, with, say, three properties. If nothing else, they could do one at some point that's Armada, Energon, and Cybertron.
Go ahead, sorry.
Three different stories set through three different universes, but they're all contained together. So you could have one book telling one story, but with the different characters in each era.
Would they have to pay more? Not that it would be a separate license, but, I mean, it would. Yeah. I don't know how the licensing works. Maybe they might even have to pay more to do that. I don't know.
I'm just looking at it that if they have the Transformers license and that encompasses a whole range of product, if there's product that they have looked at and said, this is interesting, but it won't support a book right now on its own. If they did an anthology series, they could give the readers a sample of these other universes, and people could write in and say, hey, this animated story in this one anthology, we loved. And they say, okay, we'll put that in another anthology. And if it does well, the readers can see these other universes that may not get a chance to even exist outside this anthology, but IDW could have their next big book be revealed through these shorter chapters. If not, you've still got something different for other people to read, but it's another offering to your consumers.
Don, start.
I don't think Don's wrong at all.
Yeah.
The concept is actually really sound, and what, you know, one thing me and Rob talk about a lot is how there's a lot more really good artists and a lot more qualified writers than can actually fit into the ongoing titles that there are, and something like this would be a good chance for all of them to be able to get their work out there in Transformers.
Yeah, but I like the idea. The sad thing is I'm not sure if the comic market is actually structured very well for it at the moment.
Seven
Transformers books, and you know, Transformers as a comic right now is very, very continuity driven, and an anthology like that that's not set in the IDW continuity, you know, I'm not sure how well that's going to do. I hate to say it, but besides the fact that it's, you know, it was not digital first, which the writer Georgia Ball has said has hurt the book, and the fact that it's based on a cartoon that nobody can see because it's on at 6 in the damn morning, you know, besides those things, the fact that it does not tie into the current IDW continuity at all is probably another reason that Robots in Disguise Animated did not do that great. And that's, you know, that is a pity. And, you know, it's Robots in Disguise Animated is a great book for, unfortunately, a comic market that kind of doesn't exist anymore. It would be great if there were, you know, supermarkets with newsstands across the country that you could get that into.
Comics are for 45-year-olds.
Yeah, pretty much. That is the problem.
Basically,
this is a comic that is about 40 years too young for them.
Yeah.
Well, and basically, it's an all ages book in a market that all ages is a bad thing. It's like one of the few non Marvel DC books. Well, it was Marvel technically, but it was written by Bendis, Takeo, that his daughter actually helped write. And I really enjoyed that book because it was an all-ages book, but it was still well-written. It was, the art was fine, the writing was fine, but it was an all-ages book. And all-ages is not this dirty kid thing. You know, it's just something that everybody can read without fear of this, that, or the other. And it just seems like, to me, it's a waste to have so many Transformer universes sitting out there idle with stories to tell, but your limit is just More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, when an anthology would seem like it would solve so many problems, plus get more product out there at probably a lower cost.
Well, a viable all-ages market for comics would solve a hell of a lot of problems that they're really not addressing.
So, like, I don't want to be the pessimist in the room, but I am. Like, it would solve problems, but there's a problem that keeps it from happening, and that problem is it wouldn't sell.
Yeah,
basically, you have to solve the problem before you can solve the problem.
The
existing market structure is just not set up for all ages. And the interesting thing is that Georgia Ball was saying this has happened before. Some of the things that she has done in trade paperback that only got a limited, or You know, some things she did that only got a limited run as individual issues went to trade paperback and sold really well in places outside the normal comics market, and she wound up being able to do more of them. So there is a possibility that we may even see more Robots in Disguise animated down the road if the trade paperback sells well enough. And honestly, I think it deserves to.
Yeah.
So Kilby mentioned he didn't want to go into the solicits as news, but there is one, basically just one important thing. So Sins of the Wreckers number 3 comes out next week, and then after that, issue 4 will not come out until April.
Why?
Not exactly sure.
Okay.
Because it's one guy doing all of it. That's,
I guess.
That's pretty much how it works. I mean, look how often Transformers versus G.I. Joe comes out. That it's, you know.
Keep this in perspective, y'all. That is a delay. It's not like it's Battle Chasers.
Yeah.
Yet.
Good point.
Yeah, and, you know.
Because I waited a year and 7 months between issues.
I waited forever for that Rising Stars comic from JMS. And it was crap, anyway. And, like, I think I waited 2 years for the last 2 issues to come out. And that was so not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay, so with Transformers versus G.I. Joe, does Tom Scioli color it also?
Yes, he writes it, he draws it, he colors it, he writes the backup.
He co-writes it,
though. I think he mills the paper and, you know, fabricates the staples.
And
so
hand delivers all the copies to the stores.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So that's why that has such a release schedule. I mean,
at least Sins of the Wreckers has Bertram doing the coloring, so not everything's on Nick.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, if it was on Nick, it would still be running.
Huh.
Well, only for 20 weeks.
That's really, Don, that's really good. I got it.
Yeah, that's nice.
Really good, Don. Okay, so just a reminder, don't forget Toy Fair 2016, Saturday, yes. February 13th. I'm going to have lots of people. It'll be lots of fun. We'll be streaming all day, and it's our biggest event of the year. And if you're not already, make sure that you're following us on Twitter at TF Radio. That's where all the news will be coming from, as well as, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel because we'll be streaming there. We'll be streaming at tfradio.net. I don't normally post it to T-Formers because there's so many things that pop up during the day, and I don't want people to be just locked on the home screen without refreshing. So I normally don't post it there. So you'll have to find it through our website, tfradio.net, or Twitter or YouTube. So on YouTube, we are at youtube.com/C/RadioFreeCybertron, one word. So, and you can find me personally on Twitter at BKilby. Chris is at, he's not going to say. Matt's not on Twitter, Diecast.
I'm at.
You're too far back from the microphone, is where you're at.
I'm at Diecast 2, maybe.
Don?
I'm on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Rob?
RAC2750.
John?
That John D.
So, and please, 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 if you've listened this far, you obviously like the podcast. Please leave us a review.
Or
on
you can't find your mouse.
Or you're waiting for a Massey attack.
People don't listen to podcasts on their computer.
Well, if they're watching live, they're watching it on their computer.
I do.
Really? You listen to podcasts on your computer?
Yeah, the background.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Obviously. The only time I listened to it on my phone is when I was didn't have the laptop working.
But if you've got this far, you obviously like the podcast. Please leave us a review on iTunes. The longer a podcast is around, the fewer reviews it gets later on. So we are definitely in that period where people who tend to be iTunes reviewers have already left the review. So please, we need new batches of iTunes reviews. 5 stars. 4 stars would be acceptable, but you know, leave what
Yelp.
Yeah,
and reviews on Yelp.
Yeah, leave what your heart tells you to leave, but please, it would help us out. It's the single best way to help people find the show. So that's just click on the iTunes link on our website or on T-Formers. And Don is going to say something that will probably piss me off. Go ahead, Don.
No, I'm just going to say, you know, if we don't get the iTunes reviews, We'll have to start doing drastic things like me and Speedos jumping a shark.
I was right. It's going to piss me off. I don't want that to happen. So please, exactly. please.
Nobody wants that.
Yes, leave reviews on iTunes. If you're not on iTunes, subscribe again on YouTube or whatever you can do to help spread the word. We've been doing this now straight, solid, without any breaks for over 6 years. This will be 7. But off and on, we've been doing the show for 16 years, so we could really use your help in spreading the word.
Or, you know, we could just really use your help. Please help us.
Please send help.
If you have a good psychiatrist, or if you are a psychiatrist,
let me introduce you to Don.
Yeah, leave an iTunes or Massey will attack me.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, that will be it for this week. We will be back next week on January 27th. So for the guys, I'm the host, Brian Kilby. We'll see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?